9 to 12 with Just Plain Darren on Mix 93.8.
Okay, so we live with the word Eskom every day in one way or another. And things like load shedding and power cuts and generators and you name it. That's what we live with. So we got on the line now Anthony English, who's a co-founder of something called Freedom One. How are you doing, Anthony?
Hi there, Darren. How are yourself?
I'm all right, thank you. You live on Eskom Power?
No. I closed my Eskom account, living completely off-grid, saving me about $5,000.
Okay.
And so electric vehicle as well every night from my solar power.
We don't want to miss any of this, Anthony, and you are breaking up a little bit, so I think it is a bit better now, so don't move from wherever you are. So you're saying you went off the grid, and even your car, is it a fully electric car?
Yes, I drive an electric car and charge it every night when I get home from the solar power.
Just tell me one thing on those. That's a question I got. If you don't charge it or you forget to, because people do that with their cell phones as well. You leave home and go, geez, I didn't charge my cell phone last night. So you just zap it in the car. You charge it on the way or wherever you go. If you forget to charge your car and you're halfway down the highway heading to work and it's running low, the little battery thing starts low battery, where do you charge it then?
Okay, well, fortunately, we've got some companies like Jaguar who put a lot of investment into public charging stations.
Okay.
So you just check on your app to find out where the local Jaguar charging station is, and you make your way there, and you make sure that you plan, just like when you're getting low on fuel in the standard car, you make sure you plan that you can get to the local charging station. Now, there's obviously not as many of those around as there are petrol stations.
I was going to
ask. But of course, it's early days. I'm sure that Jaguar and BMW and the like will be adding more charging stations as we go.
Okay.
But yes, it has happened to me where I forget to plug my car in it when I get home because I'm distracted by something.
Uh-huh.
And then generally I have enough range to get to work again the next morning anyway, and then I just charge it at work. But of course, if I was planning a long trip, then I would have to wait for my car to charge when I do realize I forgot to plug it in.
That's living on the edge. It's like driving your car home and you hit the reserve button and you go... it said 50 k's before it went into those like nothing, and I think I might make it. It's when you sweat a little bit while you're on your way home. All right, that's not what we wanted to chat to you about, but obviously you are living then on alternative energy sources, on electric power for your car. You're off the grid, which is obviously something that everybody, I think every consumer would love to be able to do, but obviously can't afford it because it's quite an expensive exercise. It's not people start thinking about solar and stuff like that, and you start talking about a lot of money. So tell us about Freedom One and what you guys do.
Yes, so Freedom One brought to market, we were the first to bring to market lithium battery technology for residential backup and residential solar storage solution. We started with a stationary storage product in 2014, but, of course, before that, we had experience with in electric vehicles because we were converting electric vehicles, standard vehicles, to electric, mostly for the game lodge industry for silent game drives and carbon-neutral game driving. And we saw the performance of these lithium batteries was outstanding. And after we had the first vehicle in operation for about 3 years, we decided that this technology has to be made available to the stationary storage market, being residential primarily at that stage, but of course moving into commercial and industrial. And the reason for that is because of the exceptional life cycle cost being extremely low. The cost per cycle or the cost per kilowatt hour that you extract from the battery is only about 20% of that of the old redundant obsolete technology lead acid batteries, as we know them. And what that meant is because of this such reduced life cycle cost, it made it economically viable to set up a generation plant using solar at your house and a battery that's sufficiently large to run your house loads throughout the night until the sun comes up the next morning.
Okay.
So the solution is actually designed to last 15 to 20 years without any maintenance at all. And then after that period of time, your battery would need replacement because it would have had degradation, natural degradation over those 20 years.
Okay.
And so the remaining capacity is now would have been reduced to a point where you need to buy a new one.
All right. So basically solar-powered battery for your house, and the, obviously it's a long-term investment. So So are we talking about something that is very expensive to have, but in the long term it's actually going to pay itself off, and if you work it out over 20 years, it's actually worth getting? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, well, actually, the payback time has reduced to about 5 years now for a solar plant with battery, with a lithium battery like ours. Mm. So the investment is very compelling. And, of course, after the first 5 years of the payback period, you start saving huge amounts of money if you were to compare the scenario to where you were if you were still connected to the municipal grid. Mm. But yes, it is a substantial investment for anyone. You know, for an average house, you're looking at about 200,000 rand to put in a sufficiently robust system so that you don't use the grid, except perhaps on cloudy days. If you've got two or three cloudy days in a row, you would revert to using the grid. So in some cases, it makes sense to keep the grid connected, especially if you don't have any line fees, if it's only sort of a prepaid situation, you don't pay a monthly rental. If you do have monthly rental, which is quite high in some cases, then it makes sense to actually just close your Eskom account or convert it over to prepaid.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Prepaid's probably the way to go. And obviously this would not then work in Cape Town at all.
Well, you mean with the cloudy weather?
Well, winter from now until November, basically. You don't see the sky again until then.
It is pretty much like that, I agree. But the advantage of lithium batteries, of course, is if you do get 10 minutes of sun here and there, which does happen in Cape Town, you know, you can take maximum advantage because the batteries can absorb a huge amount of power in a short amount of time. So the new technology does help from that perspective as well.
Yeah.
Of course, if you are going to be completely off-grid in Cape Town, you have to have quite a big solar array. And size your battery up accordingly as well, because if you have a big solar array, even in cloudy weather, you still generate power.
Okay. Well, listen, Anthony, we don't really care about the Cape Townians because we're in Joburg and we're talking to the Joburgers, and we have beautiful weather in winter. You're hardly really going to need to be on the grid because a day like today is pretty much what your winters are like, and we really have 3 days where there isn't sun at some point. So, I mean, Joburg is particularly, and Gauteng is particularly tailored towards being towards this and going off the grid. You would hardly really need to actually have to fall back onto the grid unless you have a really sort of freak week of non-stop rain and stuff like that. So tell us about what are we looking at cost wise if you say, right, people are cutful now, and I'm not just saying this hypothetically, people are cutful. We're now hearing horrific stories about load shedding like we've never seen before coming. We're getting told that this is something that we just need to accept because of circumstances. Meanwhile, we're in this problem because of the people that preceded us, and no one's sitting in jail yet for everything that happened there, and so on and so forth. And people are cutful. We're getting a lot of excuses, and they would love to get off the grid. So I want to get off the grid. What is it going to cost me, and what do I do?
Okay, so the great thing is that you've got a spectrum of options depending on your budget. You can start small, and then that small solution would be looking at running essential loads and under essential loads. Nowadays, we put the TV in there, your cell phone chargers, your LED lights that you have in your house,
Wi-Fi.
Your radio, of course, things like that, your electric fence, your electric gate, your electric garage door, all those kinds of things. You can run, let's say, for a four-hour period during a load shedding event. On a, let's say, a budget system, obviously using lithium because there's really no point in using lead acid batteries that don't last. If you use a lithium solution entry level, you're looking at about 40,000 rand to run your essential loads in your house for that 4 hour period.
Yeah.
And then as you scale it up from there, you start to become less and less dependent on the grid. If you have solar panels, of course, if it's a load shedding during the day, you could actually last indefinitely the whole day by just running off solar power with hardly using a battery at all. So I'd say the next step up to that from that would be about 120,000 to 130,000 rand. And that's quite a small battery and a fairly small inverter, let's say a 3 kVA inverter and a 5 kilowatt hour battery, and let's say a 3 kilowatt peak solar array. All of that is your kind of entry-level solar generation plan for your house. And then the fantastic thing about it is that with lithium, you can add batteries down the line, not be worried about the age of the original one, which you have to, you can't do with lead acid batteries. So let's say a year or two down the line, you can add another 1,000 kilowatt-hour battery, and you can add some more panels. You can put another inverter in parallel with the original one, so you can scale it up as your budget allows.
Yeah.
But of course, if you have a bond, it's possible to extend that bond to borrow money from the bank to add solar to your house. There are other vehicles as well for borrowing money, essentially, in a lease-to-own kind of agreement.
Okay.
Where you pay it off over 5 years. And in reality, what happens is if you're paying it off over 5 years, I mean, you might be paying a little bit more every month, let's say for the first year, than you were originally paying
for electricity. Yeah.
Yeah, but then it inverts after a year or two. Your loan repayment ends up being less than what you would have been paying to the utility. And this has been made more pronounced by the recent tariff increases, exactly, which obviously Eskom needed to stay in business.
Yeah.
And realistically speaking, it does cost that much money to generate electricity with their coal-fired power stations, and obviously to reticulate it all over the country. So,
okay, so
those tariffs will continue to go up at similar rates that we've seen approved earlier this year. Well above inflation, about 15% per annum.
Yeah.
So that just makes it even more pronounced as you go, and the savings just become greater and greater.
Okay. So
you're aiming to be off the grid or 90% independent of the grid. So that means only 10% of the energy in an annual cycle will come from the grid. And yeah, for a typical house, you're probably going to end up spending about 200,000 to 250,000 rand to do that. On a slightly bigger house, 300,000 to 500,000 rand. But obviously, you're talking in the more luxury segment there.
Okay. Yeah. So do the maths and work out what you are paying at the moment, because it does sound like a scary number, and those are numbers that have been thrown around quite a while now, when it comes to using solar and stuff
like
that.
Well, just to give you an idea,
very quickly, we got to move. Yeah.
Cost of energy from the solar plant, you're looking at around 1 rand 60 to 1 rand 80 a kilowatt hour, but most municipalities are charging around about 2 rand to 2 rand 50 a kilowatt hour now, and I know that myself, for instance, I'm on a rural line, and I was paying 2,600 rand a month just for my line rental, and about 5,000 rand a month for electricity, and it came out to about 2 rand 20 a kilowatt hour.
Mm.
So basically, the installation of a solar plant with a lithium battery is cheaper now on an amortized basis per kilowatt hour than it is to use the grid. And that's quite an exciting prospect for all of us.
Okay. Well, JP's already preempted the next question as we do wrap it up here. Very fascinating stuff as well, and something you should seriously consider. Your website, he says, is freedom1.co.za/energy-storage/advantages-of-life. PO4-battery. So I'm assuming that is all part of your website. So they should just go to freedom1.co.za, right?
And that's freedom, and then the word WON.
Yeah.
As in, we've won our freedom from pollution and high fuel prices and high electricity tariffs, etc.
And you won our freedom from Eskom when you go this way.
Freedom from Eskom as well, yes.
Say it. Just say it. There we go. Yeah, hold no punches when it comes to those guys. All right, listen, fascinating stuff. Thanks very much for your time, Anthony, and for explaining a bit of that. I'm sure you could. There's a whole lot more to it as well. But yeah, sit down, work out the math, and then go and check out the website and see if that's something you might want to consider. Get off the grid, and as you say, in the long term, it will certainly pay itself off. Anthony English joining us on the show today from Freedom One. That address again, Freedom One is WON, freedom1.co.
.za. 9 to 12 with Just Plain Darren on Mix 93.8.